الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف المرسلين سيدنا وحبيبنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. All praise to you, the Most High, and may his peace and blessings be showered on our beloved Messenger and Prophet, the seal of the Prophet, from the Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and on his companions, and especially upon all those who follow the questions of the last day. Allah ta'ala bi tayyib mubin, shalatul rahim, يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. واعتصموا بحبل الله جميعا ولا تفرقوا واذكروا نعمة الله عليكم إن كنتم أعداء فألف بين قلوبكم فأصبحتم جناحاً كبيراً وكنتم على شفا حفرة من النار فأنقذكم منها فذلك يبين الله لكم And to the aspiration, you obviously you live here, you continue to do the right, and if we weren't able to cooperate and live together and have compassion with one another, procreate, and have children, and raise the children according to the persona of the Prophet and the Prophet. The idea being that Islam is supposed to be a religion of Prophet, and the Prophet is supposed to be and he was trying to bring Prophet to the Arabian people at that time of life. So not just give them father in terms of the gender issues, but, you know, things like how do we deal with orphans, social welfare, you know. He made it so clear that he made the example that was related in the Hadith that the Prophet said, whoever takes care of an orphan or raises an orphan, him and I are like this in paradise, meaning that the importance of, you know, taking care of each other, taking care of one another, whether it's your orphan community members or whether it's your spouse or your wife, your spouses or your daughters or your mothers. The idea is that there is no equality. That this notion that one gender is better is non-existent. There's different roles in Islam. Men and women have different roles in our religion. But to say that one is superior over another is the reason why we have a lot of problems that we have today in society. The problem isn't just with how humans are living and perceived today, but it's what's going to happen in the next generation. I mean, if our children grow up and think of the masjid or think of the Muslim community or the community where our daughters are not as welcome, they don't feel comfortable speaking, they don't feel comfortable expressing themselves, or don't feel like they belong, then they won't belong and they won't come to the masjid. And our kids will talk about Islam as if it was something from the past that, you know, their parents and society, but it's not something that's relevant to them. And if it doesn't jive with the understanding that they have about, you know, I'm a daughter, I have the same rights as my brother, and, you know, I believe in equality, but if my message doesn't, then I'm not going to go to the question. And that's the reality that we have to deal with, you know, the next generation. I mean, we're not just coming to the question for our own good. The question is, we want to continue to be, you know, the love of our lives, love of our lives, and continue. And the only way to do that is we go back to the origin. We go back to the teachings of the Prophet and teach our kids. And not just teach them, but actually show them the example. And show them how, not just what the Prophet said, but how, what happens when you put that into action. I would like to remind myself and you of a hadith on Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu from Tirmidhi when the Prophet said that among the Muslims, the most perfect of them in regards to their faith is the one whose character is excellent, and the best among those are those who keep their lives well. So he's equating the treatment of the spouse to the excellence of the character and the perfection of the deed. And I was doing some research before the khutbah, and the number of times, you know, verses in the hadith came up about reminding us about how to treat the women in our society and in the Quran, about equality of treating the women with respect and dignity. It's so numerous that it made me realize that this is a pervasive problem, obviously. It's, you know, not something that was just mentioned once. It's mentioned throughout the Quran. You don't have to look around at the world around you to see why Allah gives us so many reminders of it, because, you know, as a human community, we haven't really been listening. We haven't really been following. And, you know, it's just a very quick statistical look at, you know, figures even in the United States, it's clear to you that, you know, one of the qualities and issues in the United States, whether you're talking about inequalities of salary or access to, or around the world, access to education, access to healthcare, salary, inequality, access to jobs, these are all things that, you know, you can look at and say, clearly, there's an issue, and it's something that the Quran came to resolve, and it hasn't been resolved. It hasn't been resolved by Muslims, it hasn't been resolved by non-Muslims, but we're supposed to be taking the lead. We're not supposed to be following and waiting for other people to tell us how to resolve these issues. We have the example of the Prophet who worked for his wife. You know, a lot of us forget that the Prophet's wife, Sayyidina Khadija, radiallahu anha, she proposed to the Prophet Muhammad radiallahu anhu son before he was a prophet, and she was his employer, she continued to be his employer after the Deen of Islam was given to him. And when I think about it today, you know, there's a lot of brothers who have a hard time looking for the wife. I mean, in their mind, you know, being able to, you know, get along with your wife and be compassionate is one thing. But to be subordinate to your wife in the professional capacity, in your work, that's a big deal. And that's, you know, nothing in the prophet is what's going to life happen by coincidence. All of the prophet's life is examples to us, and follow examples to us anyway. So the reminder that not only did he treat Sayyidina Khadija radiallahu anha as a very esteemed and valued member of the community and very, very high regard, but he worked for her. He was her subordinate. He took orders from her. He did what she said when he went on his trade trips, and he traded for her. He traded like she told him to. He did what he was asked. And that was his life. He worked for his life. And in this day and age, that's kind of mind-blowing that, you know, countries and communities that are Muslim still have a very hard time with even, you know, sitting across the table with a sister without having ideas that they're inferior, that, you know, they're less deserving, that they don't have the same rights as them, because they do. And the examples of Sama and Muslim are very clear. The reality is, you know, I think that Muslim women in America might have it a little bit better than maybe Muslim women in Saudi Arabia or Afghanistan or other places where they really do have to fight and battle for education or for rights or to be able to drive or to do the things that, you know, we expect them to be able to do because, you know, that's where justice would have a thing. We're going to be people, we're going to treat the genders equally, and, you know, that needs to be addressed. And it needs to be addressed here first because this is where we live, but we also need to recognize that, you know, when you hear stories and you hear situations where, you know, assault and abuse and violence and rape and women who get beat because they're accused of something that they may or may not have done, these ideas are barbaric and these ideas are contrary to the sunnah of the Prophet. So we're reminded that in the Sahih Hadith, when one of the companion came to the Prophet, and he said, "A messenger of Allah has asked to go on to the military expedition that was planning for battle. And I have to ask your advice." He said, "Is your father going to try to respond? Is your mother alive?" He said, "Yes." And he said, "Then go stay with her, but the garden is under her feet." And he's basically, you know, telling him, staying and caring for your mother, that's what paradise lies for you. You don't need to go into battle or fight. And by equating the two things, you know, something should click, you know. There's an importance, and there's a reason why we have to be so caring and so loving and so compassionate and, you know, take care of the mothers in our lives and the women in our lives, because these are the people that are raising our lives. These are the people that are raising our children. These are the people that are holding the next generation. If you want to, you know, make sure that your kids are raised well and taught well and become the shining examples of what a son should be, then we need to show compassion and mercy and love to the mothers in our lives, the sisters, the daughters, who will be mothers. Because human beings are conscious. I've given this example before, but I have a three-year-old child who I see him learn as if it's a sponge being dropped in a sink of water. It's like everything that you repeat language, repeat actions, repeat, you know, what you see, because that's how they learn. They learn by looking at their examples, which are their parents. So the best way to develop a healthy, solid relationship with your children for their future and their future and their grandkids' future is to model that. To model that in front of them and be respectful to your mother, be respectful to your wife, be respectful to your daughter, and that's what they will learn. But unfortunately, you know, if you're showing disrespect to your wife, if you're being physically abusive, or if you're showing your children that, you know, the son gets preferential treatment over the daughter, or, you know, we don't, you know, treat our moms the same way that we treat our brothers, then that's what they're going to learn, and that's what they're going to be with. And that's why the situation happens that you have communities that are supposedly Islamic communities, whether you're talking about, you know, I'm going to use them as an example because they made themselves an example, which is Saudi Arabia. So you have different rules and different regulations. Specifically, you're not allowed to drive, that's the way it is. And it's not that people are born thinking, you know, my sister has that women are second class and I'm going to treat them like that. No, it's learned behavior. And the learned behavior is learned from their parents and their forefathers, and it's passed on from before the time of the Prophet. I mean, these are things that have been going on for centuries, and they continue to go on because we haven't broken the cycle, because we haven't stopped and said, you know what, as a community that follows the teachings of the Prophet, the truth is right, the forbidden is wrong, So that children can do that, and our children can raise children who are better. And that this will become a problem, a historical problem, not something that we're still dealing with in 2013. I'm also reminded of a hadith where a man came to the Prophet, and he asked him, O Messenger of Allah, who from among mankind warrants the best companionship for me? And the Prophet had spoken to him by your mother. And the man asked the men who after that, and the Prophet again replied, your mother. And the man asked the men who after that, the Prophet again replied, your mother. And then the man asked again the men who, and then he replied, your father. So three times he reiterated that the person most deserving of your companionship is your mother. And that couldn't be more clear. It wasn't like the question was asked once and that was it. It was asked four times. And he repeated it and repeated it and repeated it. And these are clear signs for us. We have to really make sure that we listen and we open up our hearts and we open up our minds so that we do fulfill the idea that we spend the qualities of women in the way that we're supposed to treat the women as son. The reason I decided to choose this topic today was during the first week of Ramadan, my paternal grandmother, my father's mother, passed away after 92 years, and she passed away during Ramadan fasting, so I'm really glad she'll be very lucky and I love her and her dad. But I saw her from my side, like I've known her since I was born, so 40 years of my life. And I was very lucky in that in her, I saw signs of what Allah's creation was. What? I saw the signs because I saw who she was as a sibling. I knew her with her brothers, which are my great uncles, and I saw how they interacted. And I saw the amount of respect that they showed for one another as siblings. And that was a reflection of the respect that was given to them by their parents in terms of the women and the sons. They weren't made to feel any different or made to feel inferior. And she passed that along to her children, my father, my aunt. And that was reflected in the fact that my aunt graduated and went to university. She became a professor. She had a master's degree. And she was not held back in any way by any cultural restrictions that, you know, some people put on to women. You know, back when she was born in the early 19th century. And that in turn is translated to how our parents deal with me and my sister. And again, my sister was always encouraged to get an education like I was. My parents sent us both to universities and made sure that I graduated. My sister went on to get a master's degree. And that's going to get passed along to our children. And the idea being that taking care of the women and having respect for women and having compassion for women and treating them in the way that the Prophet intended for us to treat the women in our society, that's going to have an effect on generations forever. I mean, if you raise a good mother, and that mother is going to raise her children accordingly, then you begin to create a lineage of people who are going to hold tightly to the rules of Islam and hold tightly together and encourage each other to do right. And it all starts there. If we don't take care of our mothers, we don't take care of our sisters, we don't take care of one another in our community, then we can't expect much for our children and our grandchildren and our great grandchildren. Because the reality is, those are the ones who are taking care of our future. So we need to show them the respect of the Prophet that was supposed to show to his wife and the women and the community of women. Who the Holy Spirit is not the love of God, who the love of God. But it's not always the case. A lot of times it's rooted in culture. And we know that a lot of our parents, mine included, came from other cultures and had other influences on them. Sometimes those were beyond the world. If somebody's a first generation immigrant from a country and they come here, they're going to still hold on to some of the cultures and some of the norms that are not necessarily healthy, or are not necessarily Islamic, and are not necessarily what we want to see as examples of our children and our daughters. So we have an opportunity here in America to basically cut ties with the negativity and the culture that is not productive and is not going to bring us forward and not going to help us. Among ourselves here as Muslims, we have our own community, and standing up here and seeing the different colors and the different faces and the different backgrounds just among the group of attendees today, it's a beautiful thing. Because this isn't something that you see anywhere else in America, where you see black and brown and South Asian and Asian and Middle Eastern and people with different languages and different skin tones sitting together and calling themselves a community. That's not a community that America is used to. I mean, American communities are usually like, we have a black community here, a white community here, an Asian community here, a Latino community here, and everybody keeps together in their own groups. But here we have a community of believers who are of all faiths and all backgrounds and all languages spoken. And we have our own culture. We can create our own culture because we are our own community. And the idea that we have to cling to any outdated or unexplained cultural norms that follow us from our grandparents or our countries or our parents' countries, that needs to stop, because we have to understand that there's a dividing line between culture and Islam, and if we don't follow that rule, then we only have ourselves to be accountable. And one of the first things that the Prophet ﷺ did when he came and started preaching the message, he basically said, look, we're cutting ties with this whole notion of tribalism. We're not tribes. We're not Omar. We're Muslims. We live together. I don't care if you're black or yellow or brown or white. I don't care what family you come from, or if you're a slave, or if you're a local. We are one community, and the idea of tribalism and whatever notions came down from your tribe, that is rubbish. That is no longer part of your faith, and that is not part of your creed. Because as Muslims, that's not what we're taught. We're taught that we are equal, that the idea of tribalism and who is better than the other. We know the hadith of Prophet Muhammad that a black person is not better than a white person, and a white person is not better than a black person. And an Arab is not better than a non-Arab, and the only thing that Allah is concerned about is your iman and your heart and your deen. So, whatever we need to come to terms with to let go of the issues that are holding us back, specifically regarding how we deal with our sisters, is something that we need to come to terms with, and we need to be the leaders. Because Islam needs leaders, and as American Muslims, we're in a unique position to take the leadership role in certain issues that are affecting our communities. And we're in a good position to do that here in America. We have law on our side, we have constitutional guarantees. People want to discriminate against any one of our sisters, you can go to court, file a lawsuit, and gender discrimination will be dealt with by judges. And we can take the lead as a community because, we have that opportunity, and we need to take that opportunity. We need to pull tightly to it, because that's what Thank you.